On the GNM Family Market phone line, a woman well acquainted with his work. That would be Jericho's wife, the talented Sharon Rose Vaznis of WCSH-TV. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rich. Nice touch there. I like that.
Our producer and co-host, Carrie Haskell, coming up with that. We thought that would be appropriate. And we're so excited to have you on the show. I can't believe we haven't had you on in the last 5.5 years. That's a strike against me.
Oh, saving the best for 5.5 years in, I guess.
That's the plan. That's the way we look at it right here. Absolutely. Well, we wanted to talk about you and your career. You've been such a big part of television broadcasting here in the state of Maine for a while. And I think people, I was surprised to learn that you're not a native Mainer. Can you tell the story of your raising in the Green Mountain State and what led you to Maine?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town in Vermont called Bradford. And I'd say we were, kind of a lower middle class family. My parents were really hardworking. They were very frugal. We didn't have a lot of, frills. And we went on two family vacations the whole time I was growing up. One was a long weekend to New York City, and one was about a 10-day trip, I believe it was, to Maine when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I absolutely fell in love with this state. We went up and down the coast, and I said to myself then and there, if I could ever live here, this would be my dream. And I went away to college in upstate New York at Ithaca College. And, when you want to get into television news, you go where the job is. So I applied all over the place, always hoping and never thinking I would get lucky enough to land a job here. But I did. I ended up getting a job as a weekend producer at WCSH in Portland and came and made this my home and have never left.
Now, when you got here, times were tough trying to make ends meet, and Bill Green, our friend Bill, wanted to make sure you told this story. I think because it was a fantasy of his to do this, you lived at the YWCA for a while.
I think Bill loves it because he says it makes him know that I'm just a crazy kid with a dream. Yeah, I did. I mean, I had spent the summer out of college, applying for jobs and seeing my resume tape go into a bunch of black holes where I never heard anything and getting one or two courteous rejection letters. And so I was a couple of months out of college and I wasn't making any money and I was broke and I didn't know anybody here. So when I moved here, I lived at the YWCA for a few weeks until I found a roommate and could afford an apartment in South Portland.
Now, when you started, you were a producer, but your dream was to be an on-air person. You had some people who made that a bit of a challenge for you along the way, including a news director who shall remain nameless. I'm guessing I might know him somewhere along the way. But what was that like, being told that dream was something that the person responsible said you could not achieve?
Yeah, so I wanted, I took the producer job to get a foot in the door and really wanted to report and do on-air work. And I got a chance to do a little bit of that while I was producing and got a new news director who came in. And he, after, seeing what I was doing for a few months, he pulled me into his office one day and said, look, you're just not good on the air. And you're not going to be allowed to be on the air here anymore. And you should, if you want to succeed in this business, you should stick to what you're good at, which is producing. And we're going to make you a full-time producer. And that's the path you should take. And it's not what I wanted to do. It's not what I enjoyed doing. And, I was crushed. I remember, I held it together through the meeting and promptly walked to the bathroom and bawled my eyes out and pulled myself together. But I just kept my chin up and I just said to myself, this is one person's opinion and I'm going to give it all I've got. And started applying for on-air jobs all over the place and was going to leave my beloved Maine to go wherever the job was. And fortunately, the general manager and the news director at our sister station at WLBZ in Bangor didn't see things the same way, and they gave me a shot. And so I went to Bangor for about a year and a half, where I, learned the ropes and did some reporting and anchoring, and then went back down to Portland, a year and a half later, and for the last 20 years have been on, the number one morning newscast in Maine. And it's a story that I love to share with young people because it's an example of people will knock you down and not everybody along the way will believe in you. And you really have to believe in yourself and pick yourself back up again.
Absolutely. Great lesson in perseverance there. We're talking with Sharon Rose Vasnes here on Downtown. So you mentioned the morning show. You've been doing that for quite a while. At what time does your workday begin?
So I get into the station between 3:30 and 4 every morning. Oof. And do a little prep work. We do some news updates that I record between 4:30 and 5, while Lee is anchoring our early morning report. I record some radio updates for a few radio stations in the Portland area, and then we hit the ground running at 5 o'clock with the morning report. So it's an early morning.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have such great rapport on the morning show, and sometimes people can fake that, but I think most of us have a pretty good eye and can tell when it's real. And there's obviously a great deal of not just mutual respect, but friendship and probably love there as well with that crew.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just can't even put into words how blessed I feel to have worked with the people I've worked with and to work at a station that has the kind of culture and karma or whatever you want to call it. As WLBZ and WCSH, there's a real true camaraderie there. And we continue to attract really good quality people. There are very few big egos, and everybody really works together, and everybody wants to see each other succeed. And we really and truly are a family there. And I'm just so grateful to have worked, under those circumstances for so many years.
When you work in television in Maine, as a small state, and particularly when you're on statewide, as you are, you give up certain elements of your personal life. And, in my little bit of time on TV, I got a taste of that before they told me I had a face made for radio. But social media has intensified that even more. And most people are great. Most people are supportive. But I can't imagine the comments that women, particularly in the media, have to deal with on social media and on websites.
Oh my gosh, it's funny because I early in my career, when I still had a kind of fragile ego and whatnot, it would hurt my feelings when people would write in mean things. And generally, you're right; it's probably 80% about your appearance and 20% about the actual work that you're doing, and if not even a little more than that, And it did hurt my feelings at first, but the older I get and the more comfortable I get in my own skin, I actually find a lot of the things people write in amusing because it's just so outrageous that anyone would write the things that they write to another human being. Yeah. that I actually find it amusing. Even though it's mean-spirited, some of them crack me up. And sometimes I turn around and post them on my social media pages as a way to say, give me a break. This is what people write in. And I always feel kind of weird about doing that because people will chime in and say, oh, they're wrong, and oh, you're fine, and everything. And it's like, okay, I know. I'm just getting a kick out of this. Like, I'm just kind of outing this person for being so real. And I don't use their full name or anything. But I'm just kind of making a mockery out of the fact that someone would write something so cruel. And one of the recent examples was someone who wrote in that, just went kind of up one side of me and down the other about how horrible I look. And their biggest beef, well, other than saying that it looked like I had my hair cut with a blindfold on, they said that that I looked terrible in purple and I should never wear purple again. And they were really upset that I was wearing purple that day. So my response was that was to wear purple every single day for a week.
I love that. Well, they feel like they know you, and they feel some sort of a proprietary relationship to the news. And the great recent story involving your station was the complaint that was received about that Lee and Cindy hanging out together and being real chummy with each other.
Oh, you know what? I didn't that missed my radar. So much happens throughout the course of the day that sometimes I miss things, and I didn't even know about that. That's pretty hilarious. For the record, everybody, they're married.
It's okay. So it is okay for them to be out together.
Yeah, it's allowed. It's allowed. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
And before we let you go, Sharon, I want to talk about it. We played Jericho's music here to start the segment, and tell us a little bit about that wonderful love story of how you two guys met and got together, and are, let's use the cliche, making beautiful music together.
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It was bad.
It's okay. Oh, my gosh, Rich. Can we have another half-hour show where I can tell you the story about how we met? It's kind of like the Hallmark Channel meets Jerry Springer. We have a really bizarre and incredible story about how we met. But he's the love of my life. We're coming up on our fourth anniversary in May, and we spend a lot of time together, and he is the most talented musician I know. He, the Jericho Rose thing, that's all him. Every single instrument, the vocals, he writes all his own stuff, and he puts it all together in a studio that he has in our basement.
And he's a Millinocket guy, too, with basketball fans. We'll look at that last name, his real last name of Vaznis, and remember Dave Vaznis back in the day up at Stearns.
The legendary Dave Vaznis, that's right. He was the center on the, 1963 team that won the New England State Championship, beating Morse by a point.
That's right. So, beat Joe Harrington's Morse team that year, yes.
Yep. So that's kind of a sports legend in Maine, yes.
Absolutely. Now, have you packed away the sweaters for the season? That's what we really want to know.
You know, at this point, we might have to have another luau storm center if this keeps up.
I would like that. Yeah, absolutely. We're done. We're done with winter up here.
Yeah, a number of years ago, we kind of did that. Lee and I cooked up this plan. It had been a winter kind of like this one where we had storm after storm after storm after storm. We were so sick of the storm center and wearing the sweaters that Lee and I, we did, unbeknownst to management, we just decided we were going to wear our luau shirts for the last storm center of the season, and it worked out really well. And this is feeling like another one of those years.
Now, let us behind the curtain a little bit. Is there any jealousy there? Because I have it, and I don't even work at the station, that Kerrigan gets to just do stuff from his kitchen table, mostly because he's such a bad driver.
Let's put it this way. Don Kerrigan has earned the right to do storm centers from his kitchen table, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the best gig in the business right there. But you're right. He's earned it for his terrific work through the years. Well, Sharon, it is an absolute delight for us to talk with you this afternoon. We are huge fans of your work here and wish you nothing but continued success and hope to have you on again sometime down the road.
Rich, thank you so much. It really, really was my pleasure to be on with you guys. I appreciate the invitation.
Sharon Rose Vaznis, WCSH-TV News Center, WLBZ2 in Bangor as well.